welcome to the third. This is like the Holy Trilogy. This is the third one, like the Empire's. No, fuck.
Revenge of the Sith.
The Revenge of the
Our
Sith.
Our episode three.
Yes, it is. Of mediocrity. We already fucked it up. Because we're just okay.
We like to start with a really low point, so yeah. That way your expectations are not high.
Yeah, so that's where we are. This is mediocrity. We are a new podcast. We're having fun. We've had two so far. We've talked about video games and movies and television shows, the finales of certain HBO shows. We're here back. We're third episode. I'm Brian Kluger. I'm with Jonathan Atterbury. Hi.
How's it going, everybody?
How's it been? How's your week been?
It's been a really good week. No complaints, except for the fact that it's hot as balls here in Texas.
It is hot as balls. And are your balls sticky?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment.
I'm hoping they will be, though.
Give it time. And you've got a Star Wars shirt on.
I am.
Have you seen Star Wars?
Once or twice.
Once or twice.
Once or twice.
All right. And we're also here with Jeremy Magert. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
What's going on with you?
Oh, just the usual, working on Primal Instinct.
I'm curious. You don't have a Star Wars shirt on. Last two times, I think you've had a Star Wars shirt on, perhaps.
I think you're correct.
Yeah. Oh. Laundry day.
And I like your shirt that you're rocking today.
Oh, yeah. Shining. I totally forgot I had this on. Nice, the Overlook Hotel. Shirt. Yeah. Mike Kubrick. And we're here with Josie Porter.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm awesome. It's been a crazy week. I saw several movies. Jonathan went with me to one. Saw the Secret Life of Pets.
It was riveting.
Did you like... I wrote my review. I don't know if you saw it yet. You did?
I did see it.
I slept on it and I didn't like it as much.
I think it was a fair review.
Okay.
I think I feel the same way, largely.
It basically was the same movie as Toy Story 1.
Yeah, it's very similar, except for that whole Spider-Man action sequence at the end.
Yes, which is like the third movie this summer where an animated animal drives a human car. It's weird. Josie, so what have you been doing this week? Anything fun?
Yeah, but I can't tell you about it.
Oh, you'll have to kill me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Top secret government work.
Yeah.
Top secret government work.
NDAs, things like that.
All right. Well, maybe later in the podcast, we'll have a few drinks, and you'll tell us or something.
Loosen up that tongue.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sealed. Sorry.
We're here. You can find us on Twitter at MediaOcrity. Just three dudes. We're on Twitter.
Media_Ocrity.
Media_Ocrity. I forgot about that underscore. Pesky underscore. But this episode, we're going to have a good time today because we're going to talk about upcoming horror movies for the rest of 2016. And there are some pretty cool ones coming out.
A lot of really terrible looking ones and some cool ones also.
Yeah, that's true. And on the table, what do we have on the table here? We have a Blu-ray that just came in. It's not out yet. It's the DC Comics superhero Justice League Gotham City Breakout. It's an original movie, my quotation fingers. And it's a Lego movie. What do you think about this?
I'm down.
You're down? You said you recognize some of the voice actors, right?
Yeah. It's got Nolan North, who you frequently find voicing Deadpool. He does Superman from the Young Justice series, and he actually does Superman in this. Actually, in the Young Justice, he does Superman and Superboy. And then you have Troy Baker actually voicing Batman. And
Don't forget that Nolan North did Cartho Nassi.
That's right.
That's my favorite role he ever did.
That's legit.
Was there a porn actor that had the last name North? Peter North?
Peter North, the guy with the huge cum shots.
So that's not the same guy?
No, okay. Probably not.
Damn, it could be related.
They could be related. We'll have to find out.
Nolan North might have giant cum shots too. We don't know.
But this Blu-ray from Warner Brothers actually comes with a Lego version of Nightwing. Six pieces to it. There is an instruction booklet in it, and it's from ages 6 to 12. So unfortunately, none of us can use this.
We're not allowed.
We're not allowed.
The police will show up and fuck our shit up.
But we haven't watched it yet, but we will watch it and we'll give you a short review. And also, there is a new movie, a horror movie, which goes in line with our podcast today, called Bite. And I actually watched this. So the story behind Bite, I guess in January at Sundance, this movie made people puke in the audience.
Oh, it actually made people in the audience vomit.
Correct.
Now I have to watch it.
Yes. However, when I watched it, I didn't get that. Maybe it's because I've just seen so many things and I'm just so desensitized.
Too jaded, man. You're too jaded.
Yeah, I'm too jaded. But I mean, it's pretty much all practical effects, which I like. There's not a lot of CG in it as far as gore goes.
That's cool.
It is pretty disgusting. I say if you get queasy or have an upset stomach with people puking on television or movies, man, it's like constant in this movie. It's pretty. That's cool part about it. However, it's bite. But we'll
while you're having dinner
or having sex.
Oh my gosh, this would be a great movie to watch while having a dinner party. Oh my goodness, we need to do that. And it's from Scream Factory, which is an excellent Blu-ray company. But let's talk about horror movies. So first off, I think I've heard. I want to set the record straight. Jeremy, mm-hmm. Are you a big fan of horror movies or not so much?
It kind of depends. Typically, no. Like monster movies I enjoy.
Like, give me an example.
Like anything that's got like vampires, werewolves, that kind of
stuff. So like universal monsters?
Yeah, just classic monsters. You know, normal horror movies. I don't.
So you don't like Freddy's, Jason's, Michael Myers?
I'm okay with those.
You're okay with those.
But like something like... your typical, like, kind of scare horror movies, I don't respond. I tend to kind of laugh through most of those.
Okay.
Or I enjoy Josie's reactions to them. I find that pretty funny.
So, Josie, what do you think about horror movies? He said he enjoys your reactions. Do you really get into it?
Well, no, but, I mean, I have a love-hate
relationship. Damn,
why? I have a love-hate relationship with horror movies because a part of me is really curious. I want to know what happens. I want to know what's going on. But at the same time, they terrify me. I think the last horror movie I watched was like, what was it? I watched it with John and Jeremy, and I went home that night and watched Aladdin like 5 times in a row.
Hey, I do the same thing. After a really scary movie like Conjuring 2, I put on scrubs and with the lights on so I can like
so
get
laughing.
Something. Yeah, so you get something happy.
I think it was Insidious.
Insidious? Yeah, because after a scary movie.
The fuck out.
Yeah, so I love horror movies and I love to be scared. I love having nightmares, but like. There's some movies that really deeply scare me, like stuff that deals with demons and Ouija boards.
Yeah.
And after that, I get too scared, so I have lights on. Mm-hmm. And then I have to watch something like Knocked Up or Scrubs, you know, to take it out of me.
Take the edge off.
Yeah, take the edge off.
Oh, no, for Knocked Up is way more terrifying.
Yeah, that's a horror movie in and of itself.
So, yeah, I'll watch horror movies, but, man, you better be prepared. To,
because
like, deal with, like...
With you?
What's happening? Oh, my God! Give me a
So
moment.
You're like an old Jewish lady. Who's he?
Yeah, pretty much.
What's happening?
Yeah.
All right, and Atterbury, you're not a fan, are you, of horror movies?
No, I'm a huge fan of
horror You're movies. A huge fan.
Huge fan.
So, what scares you the most?
I don't know. Like you were saying, I'm pretty jaded. I've really have a hard time finding movies that actually frighten me, but every now and then something about it strikes me. I think a lot of the home invasion type stuff is the stuff that actually gets me a little uncomfortable.
Okay.
And I like that.
All right, so the home invasion stuff does it for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, it all does it for me, but that's the stuff that actually starts to make me feel like, did I lock the doors? That kind of
so
thing.
So Strangers?
Yes, The Strangers, actually was one of the few movies that made me uncomfortable.
And you know what? That's funny because we have a sequel to that coming out.
Really?
Yes, so we'll talk about that later. But yeah, and monster movies do it for you, and Demon and Ouija board stuff does it for Josie and I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it. But so far this year, there's been some good horror movies. You've had, well, the first one of the year with The Forest. The Forest was like the first movie I saw this year. And usually in January, if you're a film critic, you hate because all the really awful movies come out in January. The Forest was one of them. If it was a documentary on Forrest Whitaker, it would have been so much better. But unfortunately, it wasn't. I did not like that movie. However, The Witch was a fantastic horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it gets an Oscar. Conjuring 2 was also a really good horror movie. They're releasing more horror movies throughout the year, not just October.
Yeah.
So,
I see that.
So one movie that's coming out that's actually comes out this month is a movie called Lights Out. I don't know if you've seen the trailer to that, but it's basically...
We all watched that one today.
Watched it today.
Yeah, so how freaky does that look? I mean, that makes turning off and on a light really scary.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the same thing when the first Paranormal Activity came out. It was like, wow, you see like just a static camera shot of a hallway and just a light flick on and a light flick off. And you're like, why did that scare me? That should scare me. That really scared me. So Lights Out. Let's start with Jeremy first. What do you think?
You know, it looks cool. Sometimes with the horror movies, what was the one I don't know the name of this, but was the Babadook?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the name.
I love that.
See, I like that, and that movie was a bit like, eventually, I want to actually see, I want to see the monster. To go a whole movie and not see the monster, that, to me, is, the payoff that I want, regardless of how it ends, is I want to actually
see the
creepy monster. So, the only thing when I watch Lights Out is I look at that and I feel like I'm looking at something like For Babadook, where I don't know if am I going to sit there for an hour and a half, 2 hours and not get to see the
monster. But a lot of people would argue with you that that makes the movie scarier if they don't show the monster.
I want to see the Wampa.
You want to see the Wampa.
What did you think of Blair Witch Project? Did that bother you for that reason? Because that movie scared the crap out of you. You never saw that one.
Mm-hmm. I remember that scared the hell out of me,
they
too.
They don't show any monster in that one. It's not one hint of monster.
But when, you know, the 1979 Alien movie came out, the first Alien movie, they rarely showed that monster, that alien at all.
We still did get a good look at it here and there.
But I think you got an okay look at Babadook, but they rarely even showed it. But I think that's what made it screech, like, oh God, what is even...
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah. It was very tense. But Lights Out, I mean, we know it's some kind of evil or a ghost or something possessed.
But I feel like with Alien... You know, I mean, part of it is the monster, but what you're also afraid of with Alien is the environment.
Yeah,
you're in space for one thing, right? But then you're also in this ship where everything is very enclosed and it's very dark and it's all narrow
hallways
and small rooms. So you know that when this monster finds you, you know, in there, you have nowhere to run. To me, that's different than when you have Babadook in a house.
Well, especially like in the original Alien, how they were so deprived of weaponry.
Yeah.
They, you know, take the second one, they have all kinds of guns and shit, and that changes it up a lot. But in the original, you just have this feeling of helplessness, and I love that about that one.
That was good. So, Josie, are you going to have to watch, like, Scrubs after you watch Lights Out?
I'm going to have to watch, like, all the Disney movies that ever came out.
From Pocahontas on.
Yeah. Like Zootopia, Tangled, Beauty and the Beast.
Did Lights Out look good to you, the trailer?
Yeah, like that kind of stuff is freaky.
Yeah, so...
Just the subtle, like, turn off the light, holy shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is one of those few... cool feature films that was actually based on a short film, and you can watch the short film online, and it is damn scary. So if that comes out this month, hopefully we'll all see it and we can have a review of it.
And that's David F. Sandberg, right?
Yes. Also, another one that's coming out soon is a movie called Don't Breathe, which sounds really, really cool and is directed by Fede Alvarez, who I fell in love with when I saw his short film online, which got him the job to, like, revamp The Evil Dead.
Which was so good.
Yeah, so Fede Alvarez, I mean, you have Sam Raimi, you have Rob Tepper, and you have Bruce Campbell. Pick this, you know, first-come newcomer director to direct Evil Dead, this, like, iconic franchise. And he really nailed it. Like,
knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, they went straight horror gore with it, and he really did a good job. So this is interesting. This is his follow-up movie. This is, you know, what can we expect from it? But the trailer and by, you know, what I've read about it, it looks to be really good. What do you think, John?
I like that what they're doing with this one. I believe I was reading an interview with Fede Alvarez, and he was saying that instead of going the complete gore porn route like they did with Evil Dead, which was so good, that they really wanted to focus more on the tension, more on things that you're not necessarily seeing horrific images, but you're just feeling that sense of being frightened. And so it seems like that's what the focus of this movie is going to be, and I'm excited about that.
Which I like. I mean, anybody who knows me, I love the more blood and guts I know. I really get off to that.
Literally.
I literally do. Literally. The movies that really scare me are stuff like very psychological stuff, like The Shining and The Witch. You know, something that's a slow burn, which I hope
this is.
And this
looks like
it's
going to be exactly that, so I'm completely gung-ho about it.
Have you read anything about it, Jeremy?
We watched the trailer for it earlier today, and it looks awesome.
Yeah?
And the part in the trailer where he cuts the lights out.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool because it channeled, like, a little bit of, like, Silence of the Lambs for me.
Yes. Yeah.
So that one moment, you know, where you're watching and, you know, he's got the goggles on and he's, like, reaching out for it. To me, it took that type of tension and just was, like, amplified it exponentially.
And Josie, do you like when a movie does that to you, something like that just gets the hairs in the back of your neck to stand up, and you're like, ooh, that was awesome, but scary.
See, I wasn't scared watching that trailer,
yeah,
but I felt suspense. And it's interesting that you mentioned that's what the director was wanting, is to have that suspense and tension there. And so that's what I felt watching it, with the lights out and then, like, them slowly backing away on, like, the wooden floor and trying to be really quiet and things like that. I was like, oh, my God, get out of there. You know, so for me, it's not, like, scary. It's more like, you know, I got my butt clenched for them.
Always a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, pucker my butthole a little bit. But, yeah, we're looking forward to Fede Alvarez. You really made an impression with The Evil Dead, so we hope you have a career in horror or in filmmaking, because you did so well. Let's hope this is not, you know, a bad movie for you. We wish you the best. Another one that's stuck out to me that's coming out later this year is a movie called A Cure for Wellness, which is directed by Gore Verbinski, who brought us the American version of The Ring, which made hundreds of millions of dollars.
And that's got a third sequel, third one coming out of The Ring,
yes,
right?
Yes, correct, yes. But, I mean, Gore hasn't done a horror movie since The Ring.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one, and it stars Dane DeHaan, who you would remember as the recent Green Goblin from Amazing Spider-Man 2.
He was okay. In Chronicle as well.
Yeah, it was in Chronicle as well. But it's about, like, somebody at a wellness spa, and if you go to this wellness spa, this guy who works there is, like, insane and going to try to kill you. At least that's what it says. But I've never seen a scary movie at a wellness spa before. So, first, I wonder how that starts out. Like, somebody's at a wellness spa and you're sitting there, you know, have the, you know, the mud all over your face. And you're like,
oh, another daiquiri.
Yes, I'll have another one. So they're like, what can make this scary? Oh, somebody's going to come in and kill me in the steam room or something like that.
Stab you in the eye with your daiquiri straw.
Do you think that's how that happened? Do you think that's...
Probably.
I don't know. I feel like, yeah, in a water cooler. We've done it in a park. We've done it in a shopping center.
Lots of woods.
A lot of forest.
I'm more confused as to why the wellness spa is serving daiquiris.
Hey, man. People want to feel good.
Yeah. Some people just don't like hot tea. So, okay. What else do y'all have? I mean, I have a bunch more, but
I'm excited about 31.
So, 31, Rob Zombie. Rob Zombie, the music genius. Rob Zombie, the horror film master. He got to start making his own music videos, and then he did House of a Thousand Corpses, which took like 3 years to release because the MPAA. And it really wasn't that bad.
Yeah, compared to other stuff that had been out already, it seemed kind of tame.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just so cool. The characters were awesome. We really liked them. And then he followed that up with the amazing, like, I want to say Oscar-worthy, but it definitely wouldn't get Oscars, Devil's Rejects. It's just so good.
Which of the two did you like better?
Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so good.
I love both.
Yeah.
But I prefer the vibe in House of a Thousand Corpses. It's got more of that, like haunted house kind of vibe.
Yeah, it's more like a music video.
Almost
and
more supernatural.
Yes.
Devil's Rejects is more like just
American
invasion, just like psycho killer.
Natural Born Killers is kind of like Devil's Rejects. But I like it.
I love both. They're fantastic.
And then he did the Halloween 1 and 2 remake, and then he did the amazing, his version of, you know, a shining, slow burn horror film, Lords of Salem. Which
we were
really
talking
good.
About that just the other day. Lords
yes,
of Salem.
And it's damn good. And now
it got kind of shit on by the critics, didn't it?
It did. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
So 31, which just seems like he just went all out for it. He's like, on Halloween, you kidnap a bunch of people and you throw them in like this warehouse. And with like 30, no, it's a bunch of serial killer clowns.
Yeah.
And they have to escape it within
the
night.
Let's take
that
niche horror right there. Like, everyone that's afraid of clowns, we're going to just focus on scaring the crap out of them.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So the trailer looks awesome. I've read a couple reviews of it when it premiered at festivals, but it comes out soon. Have y'all seen trailers to it yet?
Mm-mm.
No? Do y'all like Rob Zombie?
I have not watched any of his movies.
No movies of Rob Zombie? Yeah. I think y'all would like it. You? House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects?
I don't think so.
I think y'all would like it. But I think that it's not going to be for everybody at all.
Certainly.
It'll be for the Rob Zombie fans, but I think for horror people, and I think if you want to take that friend who's scared of clowns and just say, like, 31, it's like 31 flowers or something like that, and they get in there.
31 butterflies.
Yeah, 31 butterflies. they're going to hate you, but they might like it. But the movie looks, there's some cool people in it. You know, the Rob Zombie usuals are in it, I just can't imagine being kidnapped, thrown into a place, told to survive with like weapon wielding serial killer
it's like
psychotic
a
clowns
type situation, right?
Correct.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
I imagine the gore is going to be off the charts, turned up to 11.
One can only hope.
Yes. What about you? What do you have on there?
I actually watched the teaser trailer for Ash versus the Evil Dead season 2.
There you go.
If you want your gore, that seems to be where it's going.
So,
have you seen
part 1, the first season yet?
I did watch the first season.
They nailed it. It's so good, I think.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first few episodes. Enjoyed the kind of rest of the season less, but you know, in terms of seeing monsters, that's such a great show.
And it's funny. And
even
it's
even in the beginning when she an FBI agent or a police officer? That character.
I think she's a police officer.
Police officer, detective. In that scene where her partner first gets possessed and the light swinging back and forth, loved that part.
Yeah, because you're like, shh, and then you just, oh, it's gonna come. Oh, yep. There it is.
Monster wise, they hit the nail on the head.
Yep.
And Bruce Campbell is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But goddamn, those two side characters were some of the most annoying TV personalities.
Oh, you didn't like those guys?
Yeah, I gotta go with them, John, on that one.
So I like them. It's
already hard to watch, and they actually got worse as the season went. Yeah, it was like, oh.
See, I like them. I liked it.
They almost made me not want to watch the show.
Really?
That's how bad. I stuck around because of Bruce Campbell.
But the rest
of it almost lost me.
What do you think of the show?
I agree with John. Those two characters for me almost ruined it.
Oh, like, no.
I
mean, like them.
Once I saw Lucy Lawless in it, I was like, okay.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Got another
one. All right, Xena's here.
So do you know what's funny? The younger character, the sidekick to Bruce Campbell in that show.
The guy?
Yeah, the guy. He was Ben Stiller's kid in
Meet the Fockers.
Meet the Fockers. Yeah. Like the Cuban
look
alike. Yeah. Absolutely.
I didn't put those together
That is really funny. Did anybody see Underworld 5 coming out? Like
I saw that coming out.
I saw that when I was searching on there, but there wasn't any pictures or anything, and I was like, I love those movies, but that's not a good sign.
I'm on the opposite. I don't love those movies. The first one's okay at best. I can't get behind Kate Beckinsale, even though
get behind Kate Beckinsale.
I know. Well, in that way. That's what she said.
I didn't mean anything dirty. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. No. She's all right. The first one had a really good premise, and it was so underwhelming for me. And then the 2, 3, and 4. Ugh.
The one that didn't have Kate Beckinsale was really hard to get through.
Wasn't that the last one?
Rise of the Lycans. No, that wasn't the last one. The last one was the third one.
Okay.
The third one was a prequel,
and that was
Rise of the Lycans, and that was rough.
That was really bad.
The most recent one was good.
Why'd you enjoy it?
The Rise of the Lycans? I always felt like Underworld had such a great history to it, you know, and they never really did anything with it in the Underworld movies. And so, but with Rise of the Lycans, you get to go back and like see how it all started. Like, to me, that is more intriguing than what's her name, Selene, getting justice for her family, like boo hoo. You know?
Boo hoo's the chosen
one. My family.
Yeah. And he killed one of my favorite characters. I love Victor. Like, he was greatest thing about the Underworld movies, I think, and Michael Sheen, and she fucking killed him.
Man, to write those writers. Yeah, Underworld. I don't know. Do we need another Underworld movie?
I feel like it's done.
I don't think we need one. I think that if they do a good job of it and everyone's committed to the project, then it'd be a lot of fun. The last one was fun. I liked the last one.
Underworld in space. That's where they need to go with it. Sign me up.
Has anyone else besides me checked out Death House?
No, I don't know anything about Death House. What is Death House?
This is another horror movie that's slated for release in 2017. And
it's, so next year?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very interesting looking. Basically, it's being billed as the Expendables of horror movies.
So is it like
all
Freddy,
horror.
Jason, Michael Myers?
That's kind of where they're hinting so far. It seems as though perhaps they don't want to give away exactly who's in it. But what they're saying is a group of, I think it was FBI, some kind of law enforcement, goes in to this house that's, or this kind of mental asylum, really. And it's, they describe it as almost they're going through a Dante's Inferno type journey to get to where the core of the problem is, whatever it is. And they've got all these patients / prisoners in there, which is like Leatherface, Krueger, things like that, doing their thing. And apparently a lot of the original actors that were in there are going to be portraying their villains in this movie.
I want to see this so badly now, because I want to see just how much money each studio gave each other to use everybody's properties.
I don't know. So far, there's no trailer or anything, so we have no idea.
Death House?
It's called
Death House. This is not fan fiction you wrote?
This is not something you dreamed up? No. This was a real thing. And just search it, Death House, and it looks like it might actually be really fun.
Oh my god, that sounds amazing. what about, there's a movie called They Look Like People. Have y'all heard about this?
No.
They Look Like People. Supposedly, so it played at some festivals, and it's kind of like a psychological thriller where a guy who has kind of like a something wrong with his brain, who he thinks that people are possessed by demons. But so far, it has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes based off several reviews, and that's like unheard of for a horror movie.
Yeah.
So the movie's called They Look Like People. Look it up if you can, but 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, that's pretty hardcore.
Worth checking out?
Yes. And then we have a couple sequels, minus Underworld, but Ouija 2. Did anybody see the first Ouija board movie?
I did not. Did you?
I did. It was okay. It was all right. Like the podcast Mediocrity, it's okay.
Are there worse things to watch?
There are worse things to watch, by sure. But yeah, Ouija 2 is coming out, so I'll be seeing it, but I won't be purchasing any Ouija boards any chance.
Not into that?
No, no way. No. I actually did a seance when I was younger with Jeremy's brother. And ever since then, I've been scarred.
Scary stuff happened?
Scary stuff happened.
Can you tell us what happened?
So we were, it was your brother and another friend and myself, and we were in a bathroom. And we lit candles, and we were trying to contact our friend's dad who passed away. And we started, like, just – we held hands. We had the candles. We just started, like, trying to contact something. And all of a sudden, the light – the candles started, like, flickering really hard, fast, and one of them went out. And then, like, we walked out, and, like, the fans –
I want everyone to know that Brian is, like, wiping his brow as he tells
me. Yeah, I'm like, oh, this is
– he's getting uncomfortable.
Yeah. And so we literally ran out of the house because we were so scared and ran to the nearby Target next to our house to, like, be around people.
I need to buy some trinkets to feel better.
Yeah, no, since then, I don't mess with that. I don't want to. But, yeah, Ouija 2. And then you said that you're one of the scariest movies you've ever seen is Strangers. Strangers 2 is coming out.
I think, like,
in December of this year, so it's like gonna be like a Christmas movie.
That would be awesome, actually. Have you seen the trailer? Is there a trailer yet?
I don't think there's a trailer
okay.
yet. But
maybe it'll be
have you seen
Christmas
Strangers?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Strangers?
Yes.
So what?
We watched it together.
We did.
So what scares you most about Strangers?
Well, I think I scared Josie most about
the
Strangers.
The movie didn't scare me. John scared me.
What did he do to you? Don't bring up painful memories.
I think Jeremy can tell this story.
Yeah.
Okay, Jeremy.
So we went to go get ice cream, I believe, after the movie.
We being Jeremy and Josie.
Yes. And when we came back to the apartment that John and I were living in, John had recently purchased a set of sheets for his bed. These sheets came in a light-colored beige bag, not unlike what the strangers wear. John then proceeded to, while we were gone, make a mask, a stranger's mask, out of that bag from the sheets.
Cut out some eye holes.
He then sat down. When you walked into our apartment, when you went straight in, you were in the living room, but kind of right off to the left, there was the kitchen, which had like a little counter and then super small kitchen. He sat down on the floor, so you couldn't see him when you first walked in, kind of like on the floor in between like where the trash can was, the pantry, and then the refrigerator, and he just waited for Josie to find him, and she screamed so loud.
And ran out of the apartment halfway down the stairs.
No, I ran into Jeremy's room and started
crying. She ran into the room and jumped in my bed and started crying.
Yeah.
And you know, you made a girl cry. That bad, you almost feel bad, but then you're so happy that it worked.
And then it worked out.
When you make someone cry and you were trying to scare them, it's like, you know, it's this mix of emotions, really.
Did you get him back?
No. To this day, no.
Because Strangers came out a while ago.
That was too much trauma.
Too much trauma. Yeah. So, but what did you like about Strangers that makes it like this one of the scarier movies for you?
I don't know. I think, you know, one of the things that as a child, my mom was always really paranoid about making sure all the windows and doors were locked and shit like that. So I think that from a young age, I was just always afraid of that kind of thing. People coming into your house and hurting you or something like that. Not because anything like that happened to me, but because my mom made us very aware that that was a possibility.
All right.
So then when I'm watching this movie and this couple is doing everything wrong, they're blasting their buddy with a shotgun when he comes and tries to help them. Yeah, that's what's scary about it, is just watching those people be helpless, really.
Okay.
In their place where they're supposed to be safe, which is your home.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's scary to have an intruder.
Yeah.
Jeremy, what's it scary for you? Same reason?
Yeah, I mean, it's the tension that builds. Those movies don't really kind of get to me kind of scare-wise, but just watching the tension in the moments of the drama, pretty good.
Okay, so what is the scariest film you've ever seen? What one that was really just stands out that's like that really scares you?
I'm really scared.
Nothing like The Exorcist or The
Not
Shining?
Not even when you were a kid or anything?
Not really, no.
Wow. Spawn didn't scare you?
No.
Knocked Up. He already said it.
Oh, yeah, Knocked Up. Scariest movie ever.
Way scarier than Babadook. Babadook, the monster stays. Knocked Up, the kid's there forever.
Yeah.
No!
Babadook, all you got to do is feed him some worms and he's good. Kids, you got to put through college.
Yeah, there you go.
Divers, feed them. Nope.
And Josie, what about you? What movie really just stands out? Movie or movies scare you?
When The Ring and The Grudge came out, for sure. The Grudge.
The American versions, not the Japanese.
Yes.
Okay.
Because when I watched The Grudge, so I had terrible friends. And after watching it, they like shoved me in the attic. By myself.
So they were your best friends, but terrible people.
Or good friends.
Yeah.
Depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, John might be best friends with them now. But yeah, they shoved me in the attic for The Grudge, and so it kind of scarred me. So The Ring, The Grudge, recently for me, it's probably Insidious and like The Conjuring.
Uh-huh.
Definitely The Conjuring.
Conjuring's really good.
I was fucked up whenever like you see from what's her name's point of view, how she sees the demons.
Lorraine
Warren. Yeah, how like it's like attached to like someone. And oh man, that was so freaky. I was like, what's on my back?
Now, have you ever had like recurring nightmares from any of the movies or?
No. I've never had a nightmare from a horror movie.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
What about you, John, besides The Strangers?
I think the movie that frightened me most was the first time I watched The Exorcist.
Okay.
Because my dad, we went camping in the backyard. We took a tent outside, and my dad was like, I've got an idea. I was probably 9, I want to say, something like that. And my dad was like, cool, I'm going to bring the video player and television into the tent, and we're going to watch The Exorcist together. And
normal.
So that's what we did.
Normal.
And it scared the shit out of me.
I remember watching that at a young age, and the scene where her eyes roll back in the head and her lumps, her throat swells up
like
and she gets the voice.
Then.
Yeah. And you're just, this is not good. And
no.
I mean, the whole thing is just still frightening to this day. And I think why that's effective because you get to see this innocent young girl for like half an hour, 40 minutes before she slowly turns into something so evil and disgusting.
And the mom is so helpless.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's
That's terrifying.
The Shining still scares me.
Yeah.
One movie that scared me so badly when I was younger, it was a 1980s movie. It's an Italian English film called Demons. And I don't know why it scared me so much, but it did. But it was,
I've seen that one.
People trapped in a movie theater, and these demons come and kill them.
Isn't
and
that turn Night
them
of the Demons?
No, Night that's, of the Demons is different. It's like a that's a house party. And this one is just demons.
You're right.
It's Lombardo Bava, I think, directed it. And good God, that movie scared me. Because I mean, I feel like the movie theater is like my home and my sanctuary.
That's your safe place.
Yeah, and like when it's you're locked in and you can't get out, and there's like demons coming to get you, turn you into. Ooh, it's gross. It's really disgusting. It's an '80s movie too, so there's like the '80s synth music, and it still holds
that's
up.
Scary.
Yeah. In a way,
that music is frightening.
Yeah. So that movie really just got me when I was younger. Child's Play never got to me really. I think like a little bit the first one, but I was really young when that came out. I must have been 10 or 9.
Did Blair Witch Project scare you?
Blair Witch. Okay, I saw Blair Witch like a month before it was released wide at the old Inwood Theater before they like redid the Inwood over off Lovers and Inwood. And it was a midnight showing and it was a packed theater. And I remember like on the edge of my seat, just like, oh God, oh God. And it just ended. And you're like, I don't go into woods anymore. I'm not going camping.
I'm done forever.
Yeah.
I hate nature.
Yeah.
That ending scene was like literally one of the few movies that actually got my hair standing on end.
And to go with what Jeremy was saying, that's why I think it's so effective about not, because you don't see anything, but you see the reactions and like, you know, something as much as like, you know, somebody putting their hand on a tent or anything, that was terrifying.
It was. That was one of those movies that scared the bejesus out
of me. That was like the first movie to do the found footage movie.
And nothing's been as good since. I mean, the first Paranormal Activity came pretty close.
Was good. Cloverfield I liked, you know, found footage-wise. Yeah. But
was that one with the vampires in the tower with the girl from Dexter?
Oh, so that movie's called Wreck, but Quarantine is the American version. So there's like 4 Wreck movies. So Wreck is a Spanish movie. Mm-hmm. They remade it of Quarantine. It's like shot for shot.
Right.
But there's 4 of them, and they're all pretty good.
I haven't seen any Wreck movies. I saw the American version, I guess.
Yeah, Quarantine. Yeah, that was really well done.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah. That's horror movie. That's kind of like our what we're looking forward to. Please find us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and let us know what horror movies you're looking forward to, what horror movies really scared you. I mean, God, we could go on and on for this because there's like a subgenre of like horror comedies, you know? Like, you know, What We Do in the Shadows or Lost Boys or something like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Lost Boys.
The new Ghostbusters.
The new Ghostbusters movie. I guess you can classify Ghostbusters as part horror comedy. I mean, I guess it's mostly in the comedy section, but it's...
I was really just making a joke.
No, well, it could be.
I'd say it's just comedy. There's nothing scary about it.
The chick, the ghost chick in the library was a little bit scary until, you know, you hear them scream and you hear the... You know, it's kind of funny, but comedy. We'll see how it goes. But there's a lot of comedy horror movies.
We can talk about that.
Next time we'll get into comedy horror movies. Let's move on to since we're talking about horror movies and stuff.
Death scenes.
Favorite death scenes. So I overcompensate because I'm bigger, so I picked 5 of my favorite death scenes.
Usually overcompensating is done when you're smaller, actually, I've heard.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
I've heard that.
Well, I'm, you know, 1.5 inches of Tetris tradition here. So I'll let y'all go first, and we'll see if we match. But who wants to go first with their favorite death scenes from movies? Josie, you go first.
Okay. in movies?
Yeah. Or TV, which whatever.
I need to think about that. I'm so unprepared.
You think.
I'm ready.
You go, John.
All right. So my favorite death scenes, of course, there are the classic ones that are not so gory, but I'm going to go right to the gory scenes because that's always the ones that make me the happiest. Number one. Actually, I'm going to start with number 2 to build up some drama. Number 2 would have to be in Inglourious Bastards when Hitler gets his.
Oh, man. It was so gratifying.
It was. I mean, because everyone wants to see that.
Yeah. It's like Tarantino made, like, the World War II Holocaust movie that we wanted.
Yes.
And that we wished that actually happened.
Exactly. He gave us the history that we wish we had had. So just seeing him blown to smithereens was really fun.
Well, so what was great about that, because you see him get shot initially, and then you see the shot, you know, from the floor of the two shooting him. But then they focus on him, just the bullet holes everywhere. You know, and everyone's like, yeah!
So that was a fantastic scene.
Okay,
I love that
that's
one.
Great.
And number one, we're going to go back to Fede Alvarez here.
Ooh.
For the chainsaw scene with the demon at the very end of Evil Dead.
Wow, look at you. Yeah.
The chainsaw is just being, like, you know, knocked into her face. That was, incredible.
No.
I was just watching that, just going, oh, my God, this is so awesome.
There's blood on the screen. No, I remember that. I was very happy with that. That's a good one. That's good. You went new with it. All right. Jeremy.
So, any death scene, right? Doesn't have to be horror?
No, yeah, any death scene.
My top two that came to mind, one, I'm going to have to go Lord of the Rings. I'm going to have to go with Boromir.
Oh, man, the dude got three broomsticks shoved in his fucking chest.
Yeah.
That sucked.
It's a rough way to go.
It was a rough way to go.
That was a great, great death scene.
Those arrows literally were like broomsticks.
That was, yeah.
And he kept fighting.
Yep. And, you know, I think for my all-time favorite death scene, just because of how massively satisfying it is, I think I got to go with Gladiator, the end.
Oh.
When he finally kills Commodus.
Mm.
And he just, you know, and it's not even gore. You just get the sound of the knife, like, going into his neck and just the massive satisfaction of that.
That's true. Nobody.
That's pretty good.
We all really wanted to see him die.
Yeah. Oh,
did we? We kind of. I'm just kidding.
Maybe we want to see Hitler killed.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you want me to do mine first, or do you want to do yours?
You do yours first, and then I'll...
Okay, so I have five, and they're in no particular order. I've got to go with John Hurt from the first Alien, when the alien pops out of his stomach, because they're having a good time, and it just happens, and... Just nobody knows what's going on.
That's a good one.
And everybody's like, oh, yeah, oh. And it's just so gross. And, oh, man, it's so gnarly, too.
Imagine how great that would have been to have seen that in the theater back then before you really, like, had trailers and really, really and truly, like, knew what a movie was going to be about or even remotely.
Yeah, because trailers now spoil so much.
Yeah. Trailers are just like mini movies where you go and you do the whole thing. So it's like you just sit down and watch that, and all of a sudden that thing just explodes out of that dude's chest.
You think you're going to some sci-fi movie? Ooh. And all that's happening.
Well, no one can hear you scream.
That,
and they're so,
that
yeah.
must have been so intense.
Yeah, just... you're all just like...
They should have just had you do the sound effects.
Oh, my God.
Before you get into a microphone.
I should have. and they redid it with John Hurt and Spaceballs, which was great, too.
That was also excellent.
One of the funniest ones, I think. Well, one of the funnier ones, which is so very unexpected, is Sam Jackson in Deep Blue Sea. When he's given a monologue and a shark jumps up and eats him, and he's gone for the rest of the movie. It was just so unexpected. Doctor Strangelove, when Slim Pickens rides the nuclear bomb down like a cow. And that, it's fantastic. It's amazing. Quint from Jaws when he gets eaten on the boat. Hardcore.
Yeah,
like,
that one is pretty hardcore.
He went out fighting too. Poor Quint. And then one of my favorites is Paul Rubens, Pee-wee Herman from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie, because he gets stabbed, but he keeps on going, and like they even go back to him in the credits and he's still doing that. And then he dies. It takes him like 20 minutes to die. And I love that just because it's really funny. Go Joss Whedon. But those are like my really favorite. And I guess if I wanted to do a really, really gory one, it would have to be that end scene of Dead Alive from Peter Jackson with the lawnmower.
All over.
Oh, that's everywhere. Amazing.
That's a good one.
Turning everyone into red pudding.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, oh, that's amazing. There needs to be more movies where people get mowed over by lawnmowers. But, Josie, we're all in anticipation for you.
Okay, so these are just ones that I got off the top of my head. And they're more recent. Spartacus. at the end of the series.
The TV series, okay.
Yeah, when he finally kills Claudius Glaber. He shoves a... He's on his knees shoves a sword right down his throat.
Oh, yeah.
And so... And it was very satisfying because he's, like, a villain in the entire series. So that was a good one. This is not a very popular movie. I just, like, watched it because Sean Bean was in it. And, of course, he fucking dies.
He dies in everything.
Goldeneye?
No. It's called a Black Death.
Okay, yeah. I know Black Death, yeah.
There's a scene where he's... His arms are tied to two horses by rope, and then they, like, slap the horses' butts, and they, like, take off in direction, and his arms are literally just ripped off, and he's still alive when they do this. So he's on his knees, and goes...
Oh, fantastic.
I got a few other ones. There's two from Game of Thrones. One is, warning, spoiler alert, Ramsay Bolton.
People have seen it.
Yeah.
When if they haven't, when he gets
eaten. I literally was sad to see him go because he was such a great character.
So that was a great death scene. And then the one that, like, haunted me for weeks to come afterwards was Oberyn Martell. Like, the sound
of his head imploded?
Yes, the sound of his skull getting crushed. Just like that. And then the screaming that he's doing while that's happening. Like, that haunted me for weeks.
My favorite thing about that was the when he gets punched in the face and his teeth go flying, the sound of his teeth like hitting the floor of the arena. That was
an intense scene that did mess me up afterwards.
You know, there was a scene that was pretty gnarly in that Edward Norton movie American History X.
Oh yeah, the
where
curb,
he stomps
curb
on the guy's,
stomping
and like just the sound of the guy's teeth just the touching curb, the curb
yeah.
before he kills him. That was the one thing I was like, oh my god,
yeah, that was rough.
I want to go watch that scene again. Oh my goodness.
That's terrifying. And then there's another one. It's not super gory, but it kind of bothered me because, like, what would I do if that was, like, my death sentence? There's a show on Netflix called Marco Polo, and there's a character that was sentenced to death. And I guess one of the ways that they chose to die was getting trampled by horses. And so they basically what they did is rolled him up in a rug and trampled him with. They just had people ride on horses over him until he died.
Gave him a rug.
Yeah,
soft. We'll give you a little padding.
Yeah. We'll give you a little padding with all these horses. So let us know what your favorite death scenes are because there's like literally tons more.
Sometimes I like the unexpected ones, like when Travolta dies in Pulp Fiction.
Just out of nowhere. On the toilet.
Yeah, where you just like he just comes out of the bathroom and then like Bruce Willis just happens to find like the little machine gun. Just,
poor Vincent Valentine.
Yeah, and then Vince opens the door and then he just kills him. You're like, whoa.
Was that the end of the movie? Like, if you play it chronologically, was that more or less the end? No, the end of the movie would have been...
The end of the movie was when he actually left, right?
He takes off on the motorcycle,
yeah.
Right?
Dead, baby.
Oh, is that the end of the movie, or is the end of the movie the diner? Like, the very end of the diner?
No, because John Travolta's still alive then. I mean, the end of the movie, when you see it in the theater on Blu-ray... the end of the movie's in the diner. However, John Travolta is still alive there. So, like, chronologically, it must be,
Now, one other kill scene that I really liked a lot was the most recent Rambo movie. Have you seen this?
When
he's got the giant machine gun.
Yeah,
and he's
point blank
down
range.
Everybody, and there's just like gore being thrown in buckets upon his machine gun.
So yeah, he shoots like a guy point blank range with that thing.
Yeah, he turns him into red mist.
Yeah, it was so funny in that movie because like the leader of those bad guys, they made him even worse. They made him a pedophile. It was so funny to me because like, oh yeah, he's just killing tons of people is not bad enough. You have to make the guy a pedophile too.
But then it's because they want. You to want him to get killed brutally.
Yeah, he does. It's a Roadhouse style throat ripped out.
Yeah. Great movie.
That was good. But yeah, those are some death scenes. We'll probably do more on that later. But let's before we end our podcast, we only have a few minutes left. We have to talk about what releases tomorrow. It's a big deal. Backwards compatibility, Red Dead Redemption comes out for Xbox One tomorrow.
I'm excited.
You are?
Yeah.
Who played that? Do y'all remember playing that?
He played it a bunch. I played it a little bit.
Yeah, so it's on Xbox Live right now for $7.50. It's worth it to buy it again and replay it again on the Xbox
One. Do you know if that comes with the DLC cost?
Yes, okay. All the DLC, all the zombie stuff. Yes, it does.
I can go on Xbox
$7.50, okay. Yes.
I'm getting it.
Yeah, me too. Because right now. it's been so long since I played it, and it was such a cool game because if you're unfamiliar with Red Dead, it is the same makers as Grand Theft Auto, and it is basically Grand Theft Auto.
Rockstar,
but it's basically Grand Theft Auto, but in the Western times.
And it's so good. It's so much fun.
It's a cool story.
Beautiful game. You're able to just have all that customization with your guns, your horses, the whole shebang, and it's so much fun.
Yeah, it's really cool. You even got to kill like wildlife in the game, like bears and everything.
And there was all kinds of fun quests to hunt like special wolves and whatnot.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then I guess about a year later after they released it, they released a really big DLC for it where zombies came out and you had to kill zombies too. And it was actually pretty frightening because if like two zombies came over and you didn't kill them right away, then just like hordes of them would start, you know, trying to attack you. But it's good. I don't think it's like a remastered high def version of it yet, but you'll still be able to play it up converted on the Xbox One.
So slight improvement.
Yeah, slight improvement. But still, you can still get to play it because they've still never released it again for Xbox One. Now we need all the other fun games from back then. But I'm excited for that. We talked about Inside last time. Have you played Inside?
I'm almost done with Inside.
You're almost done.
I've been playing Banner Saga 2 lately.
Okay, that's right. You've been playing it. Yes.
So good.
So good?
The art's so good. The soundtrack, everything about it. It's like, you know, just if you like the turn-based strategy type things like XCOM or something like that, it's just a killer game.
That's good. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy, Josie, are y'all still playing? What are y'all playing?
We've been playing Halo. They introduced a new mode into Warzone, a firefight.
Oh, I remember firefight from the previous games.
So
it was awesome.
So you basically have 8 Spartans taking on waves after waves of Covenant and Prometheus.
So y'all are back on Halo now. Yeah. We've got to start playing Halo again.
It's pretty fun, man.
It's hard as fuck.
It's really hard.
It is hard. It's really hard.
That's what she said. Yeah. So
it's really hard.
It's really hard. So y'all are on Halo. I'm on Halo. You're on Halo. We should all play Halo.
You might have to announce it on Twitter sometime. You guys, you the audience, can join in and play with us.
Yeah, that would be awesome. We can make maps.
Once we have more than 3 people listening anyway.
Yeah, just 3 dudes are listening right now.
It's just us when we listen later.
Right. But yeah, that's our trilogy episode. Next week will be the 4th installment. It'll be the quadrilogy. But yeah, we look forward to seeing you next time.
It'll be a new hope, as in I hope this show gets better.
Yes. We don't know. It's just
promises, but we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, so where can they find us on Twitter again?
Media_Ocrity.
Just 3 dudes. And maybe next week we'll try to ask some questions throughout the week, and if you answer us, we'll answer them on air. We'll talk about them. Give us some questions and we can answer them on the air. It'll be fun.
Very exciting.
Yeah, so we are Media_Ocrity. Follow us on iTunes. Subscribe to us. And remember, if you subscribe to us, if you rate and review us really well, tell us how handsome and beautiful we are. You just might win The Force Awakens digital copy from us, free of charge. Thanks for listening.